Good morning. My name is Steve Yule. I'm Executive Director of the CTA Foundation, the charitable foundation affiliated with the Consumer Technology Association. And it's my great pleasure to be joined here today by Terry Bradwell, the Chief Enterprise Strategy and Innovation Officer at AARP. And this is his second time coming to CES, and really excited to hear about everything that AARP and that you are doing, as well as your experiences here at CES. I think we really share a common language, the fact that our organization, your organization, we love the word innovation. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing here at CES?
Absolutely, and thanks for having me here, first of all. Second time around, and I tell you, every year is just growing and growing, and from an AARP perspective, very, very pleased to see, you know, the technology really, really going towards a direction that really is going to help our members, you know, and help the aging population. We're seeing a lot of things happening at home. So that is just a positive thing to see. And from an AARP perspective, you know, a lot of times when you talk about innovation and AARP, some people, you know, kind of scratch their heads. What does innovation have to do with AARP? You know, we have been an innovative organization, been around for 58 years. We've been innovative since the beginning, since our start, since our founder, at 76 years old, founded our organization, had a thought, and the reason why she founded it, she had a retired school teacher that she was visiting one day, found her living in a chicken coop. And the reason why is because she had exhausted all of her resources because of health conditions. Now, this was back in the 50s, and this was before Medicare and a lot of other systems and things that we can depend on today. So we started from an innovative perspective, bringing the first real health care to retired teachers and retired seniors that didn't exist before. You know, we brought a lot of things from travel and discounts and the type of partnerships. So we have been an innovative organization. But what we're seeing now is that the game is changing. The pace of change is really, really fast. And the type of things that people need as they're growing older today in an aging society and have an older society today, that we have to really step up our game from an innovation perspective. Over the years, we've developed this thing called muscle memory, which means that you do a lot of great things and you do them the same way, and you're doing great, but as things, as conditions change on the ground, that means that you also have to change as well. So from an innovation perspective, we are doing some remarkable things at AARP. And I'll share a few of those.
I was going to say, you've done quite a bit. Just in the last year, I've seen a number of announcements, including launching your new iLab in Washington, D.C. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, it is cool. When you get to D.C., I have to give you a tour. You wouldn't think of AARP when you walk into this lab. It's a lab that we're bringing in a lot of our partners to come in and work with us in co-developing products, especially around the caregiving front, around making sure that people are aging with dignity in their homes, having accessible access to health care, making sure that you know, as folks are in their homes, that their loved ones can monitor them and make sure that they're getting the things that they need. So we're working with tremendous partners and bringing them into our lab, giving them the best of our research, and we get the best of their engineering, the best of their technologies that are out there, and making sure that they're designed from the ground up with our membership in mind, or people, our population that we serve in mind. So our lab is going to be, it's just opened up in October. It's already beginning to rock and roll. We're heavily focused on the caregiving front within the lab, but that's not the only thing that we're looking at. We're also looking at things in the workplace, making sure as we're getting an older workplace, what are some of the solutions out there that make sure that people are keeping their skills up. We are very, very focused on digital literacy. I started up a technology program about 2 years ago that has spanned nationwide now. These are the type of programs that will be coming out of our labs. So just really, really wonderful things to see.
That's great. And as you look at encouraging more companies to get involved with technology for older adults, the other thing that you've launched this year is an innovation fund that can help to encourage more people to get involved. How is that going?
Oh, absolutely. It's going very, very well. You know, we have been working with trying to stimulate the marketplace to do more for older Americans for a number of years. And we have been a huge megaphone and doing that. But what we decided to do, instead of just being that megaphone, let's put our resources where our ambitions are. So what we did is we put up $40 million in an innovation fund that is being managed by JP Morgan Access Management. And through partnerships with them and using their expertise, it ensures vetting early stage startups that are, and we're focused on areas that are more in line with keeping people in their homes, aging in place, you know, with dignity, more health-related products, making sure you have accessibility to healthcare, but also making sure that before you get sick, that you know you have technologies to help you with preventative health and things of that nature. So these are the type of early startups that we will be working very, very closely with, looking at their technologies that they bring to bear. And it's not just looking at their technology, but also giving them access to our research insights about the 50-plus population. So combining those two things, I think we'll have some remarkable solutions that are coming out of this.
It's amazing when you picture where we're going with some of the technologies we're seeing here at the show. When you look at the Internet of Things that enable the smart home, that enable the health and fitness, and how that will really impact our ability to live longer, live healthier, more independent, it's just going to change so many things for us. There's another segment, though, that I know that you've been involved with, and that's the sharing economy. And you know, we're very involved with Uber and Lyft and Airbnb and all these great companies. How do you see that impacting aging?
Oh gosh, I mean, it's going to impact aging big time. Because with the sharing economy, and one of the things that our members, more so, and people don't quite understand this, but I think our members understand the sharing economy before we call it the sharing economy. Because they're always looking at ways in which we can borrow, always looking at ways in which they can make their dollar stretch a little bit further. And really, that's one of the biggest things about the sharing economy. One of the ways that we are actually focused on the sharing economy is looking at ways in which people have skill sets that may not be the skill sets that they're using in the workplace, but these are skill sets that others can use. You know, someone who may be maybe someone in the financial, work in the financial sector, and they have skill sets in terms of helping people do their taxes and things of that nature. Why not be able to actually promote that for that individual? So they're helping actually the population, but at the same time, they can get a little couple of dollars and things of that nature in terms of being able to leverage their skill sets. So we're looking across the spectrum in terms of how we can actually leverage not only our membership, but the 50-plus audience in terms of their skills and things of that nature they can bring in and bear and really help the sharing economy.
I think that's one of the exciting aspects there is, yeah, it's not just providing services to the older adults, it's being able to provide that second career, actually maybe third, fourth, fifth career.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we live in this world, we call it the gig economy now. You know, it's, people are not traditionally retiring. They're just moving on to the next thing. You know, they're reimagining their lives. You know, you may have had 10, 20, 30 years of working in a certain sector, but you know, technology is changing the way in which we work. It's changing businesses. It's changing occupations. So what we're finding is people will have to constantly reinvent themselves, more so than we've ever had. And so the gig economy is definitely alive and well. We're doing a lot of research in this area, and actually it's part of our innovation. We call it Working Job Today, or people. We're looking at a lot of ways in which we can find some innovations to help people really navigate in this new landscape that we have today when it comes to working jobs.
Great. Now, having had a chance to see a little bit of what's going on the show floor here, what really excites you as far as what technology is coming? And then also, where do you see gaps in the market that still need to be filled that could really help older adults?
Oh, great question. There's so much that excites me, Steve. I mean, I've been a technologist for all of my life, you know, basically, so there's a lot that excites me. But I think when I think about our members, you know, when I look at, when I went over into, I think it's Tech East, where you have a lot of the connected home and the digital health services and the fitness technologies. I have just been floored to see how that has blossomed just in the last couple of years. The connected home, I think the connected home is going to be really the technology. People are going to be looking at it in the same way that we looked at the smartphone about 5 years ago. It's really at its infancy, but when you think about the Internet of Things, this is just something that is primed to blow up. And this is, and when you look at the connected home, there's nothing I think that can help our membership and help an aging population more so than having things that allows us to connect better to the people that we love, making sure that we have safety measures. factors for them, making sure that we're giving, you know, giving our loved ones that peace of mind. But a connected home is one place that I've just been fascinated. I think I've spent about 80% of my time talking to so many vendors in this space. But one of the things I would like to see, and I think this is coming along, and this is just part of just new technology. There's a lot of, I think, fragmentation when you're looking at the connected home. There's a lot of different protocols, a lot of different ways in which people are connecting. And a lot of it is just not talking to each other. But I know this will evolve over time. It'll be like VHS and Betamax. You know, there will be winners, you know, and there'll be some losers, but it will evolve over time. And then the industry will center around, you know, a standard set of technology. But I am seeing quite a bit of fragmentation here, but I know it will come together. It always does.
That is something that I know there are a lot of people working on right now. And the opportunity in those spaces to not only help the older adults, but help the caregivers, and just the peace of mind that can come along with it.
Well, and I didn't address the second part of your question, where do you see opportunities? And it's really within the caregiving space. I mean, we just released a report next week. It's really the caregiver's journey. I think it's something that the tech industry, everyone should download this when it is released. We'll have a press release on this. But it really talks about the opportunity, the market opportunity in the caregiving space. We have today 40 million caregivers. In the next couple of years, that'll go to 45 million caregivers to take care of 117 million people that are needing care. By 2030, the ratio of the people that are needing care versus the caregiver is only going to broaden. So technology is not an end all, because it's not just technology. You also need policy around this. You also need looking at the entire industry. I think there's some retooling that needs to be done there as well. So it's not just one thing that needs to be done. But this is an industry I think is ripe for disruption, is ripe for technology, and I would love to see more in this industry. It's something that we at AARP are going to be highly focused on. And we're asking everyone to join us in this. So,
well, that's great, and that actually may answer a bit of my next question, but it's why is it important to have aging be front and center at a show like CES? Why is it important to have all the amazing companies that are here looking at this issue and looking at, you know, the growing market that's available here?
Because it's a huge market, Steve. I mean, I don't know any other place where you can have a market. When you're looking at the 50-plus marketplace, it is a $7.1 trillion marketplace. It's a huge marketplace. Now, of course, the 50-plus marketplace is not monolithic. You know, a 65-year-old and an 85-year-old, there is a lot of differences between the two, you know, age groups. There's a lot of differences between their needs and things of that nature. But what I would love to see more so, and this is one of the reasons why we've been spending time at CES, because we do see technology as an enabler to help people live their best lives. But I would love to see technology companies spend a little bit more time in expanding their use cases and expanding their user-centered design to include the older population, not just a segment of the population that is, you know, the millennials or the Zers and whatever is the early ones now. But I would love them to see them really focus a little bit more on their use cases, on their user-centered design in the older population. So that's one of the reasons why we're here quite a bit, you know, talking to technology organizations, exploring the things that they're doing, and also providing some unique insights that AARP has, because this is the business that we're in. We're in the business of aging. We're in the business of looking at the older population. We're in the business of making sure that people have every opportunity to realize their full possibilities, and they're not diminished, you know, just because you're aging. So we're disrupting aging. You know, like, there's a lot of disruptions out there. We're disrupting aging.
Well, that's great. There's such an opportunity here to not only help people and do the good thing, but to do really well for your company as you're working in this audience. So where can people go if they want to learn a little bit more about what you're doing and what AARP is doing in the space?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, I am very, very active in the Twitterverse. So follow me. You know, you can go to Terry_Bradware. Follow me, and you can see I'm always tweeting about the things that we're doing from an AARP perspective. If you're interested in the Innovation Fund, and we say anyone who's looking at innovations that especially involve in the health area, helping us live our best lives, whether it's prevention, access, accessibility, or safety, I would encourage you to send all the inquiries to innovationfund@aarp.org, and they will get to all inquiries that come to them. So those are two ways that you can definitely follow us.
opportunities to work together in the future. If people are interested in learning more about the CTA Foundation, they can go to ctafoundation.tech. And please join me in thanking Terry for being here.
Thank you very much.